Mark chapter 1, as we look at verse 8 today, we're looking at only one verse today, so the service will be 3 to 4 minutes long, and we're glad you were able to come, and I'm just kidding, you know better than that, right? No, I felt that this particular subject needed the entire service, so we're only doing this one verse because of that, and so we're going to be looking at verse 8 today. And let's just read it together, then we'll pray and ask the Lord's blessing on it. Notice John says this, I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. And we thank you, God, for your word. And Lord, just the teaching of your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. And Lord, we ask now that by your Holy Spirit, you would teach us today and you would open our eyes to your word. Lord, you would help us better understand the working of your Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. And Lord, we pray that you would just do your work today in our hearts that we need done, God. Minister to your people and whatever the need is today. And Lord, let us leave here filled with you and filled with the Holy Spirit, not only understanding God, but being able to walk in power and to serve you the way that you have ordained that we serve. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now last week we looked at baptism with water. This week, we look at baptism of the Spirit, and notice there in verse 8 what John says. He says, he baptized with water, but he said, he, that is Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so today, what I want to do is look at what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, and hopefully give a better understanding of it and how the Spirit works in our lives as believers today. Now, there's some groundwork we need to lay before we get into it, and we're going to jump around a little bit today. It's more of a topical because we're only covering one verse, and so we're going to be jumping around a little bit today, but mostly the only work you'll have to do will be in the New Testament because we'll have the verses for you. But the first thing I want to talk about is baptism in Scripture. Now, when it comes to baptism in Scripture, there are at least 6 different types of baptism that the Bible mentions. What are those? Now, again, if you want to jot these down and look at them later, you can. I don't want you trying to jump all over to find these, but I want to read them for you. The first one is the baptism of the children of Israel in the Red Sea. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. The next baptism that Scripture talks about is the baptism of John the Baptist in water. That is a baptism of repentance. When we repent, we give our life to Christ, we're baptized in water, and it shows that we're born again and new in the Lord. That's in Mark 1:8. That's where we're looking today. The next one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit by Jesus. And that is in Mark 1:8 as well as Acts 1:8. And we'll look at that a little bit later. The next baptism Scripture mentions is the baptism of the cross. That's Matthew chapter 20, verse 22. The next baptism Scripture mentions is the believer's baptism with Christ into his death. The Bible says we've been baptized into death with Christ. And that is Acts 8:12. And then lastly, the believer's baptism into the body of Christ. And we see that in Ephesians 1:6, as well as 1 Corinthians 12:13. So we see there are multiple baptisms that are mentioned in Scripture. Now, again, the question would come up, again, well, what about Paul? When Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul says there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The reason it appears this way is that Paul is making a point, and that is we are all one in Christ. Paul is not saying there's only one baptism. We just saw very clearly there are multiple baptisms in Scripture. As a matter of fact, probably the classic example is the verse we're looking at today where John said, I'm going to baptize with water, but there's a different baptism that Jesus has for you, and he's going to baptize you with his Spirit. And so again, I want to make sure we're not confused on this. Paul is not saying there's not multiple baptisms, which we clearly see in Scripture. Paul is simply saying we are one in Christ. We are one. We've all been brought into the body and we are one together with him. So I feel we need to clear that up before we move any further as well. Now, even as there are multiple baptisms in the believer's life, as we just saw, we also see multiple works of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. And these two are very married in this verse because he's speaking of baptism and he's speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that and realize that even as there are multiple baptisms for the believer, there are multiple works of the Spirit. Now note this, one Spirit, multiple works of the Spirit. And what we're going to develop today is the different works of the Spirit we see in Scripture. The works of the Spirit we see in the Old Testament and the works of the Spirit we see in the New Testament. Before we do that, I want to point out that the word baptism here literally is the word baptizo, which means there in the language, full submersion. It means to completely go under. And it's the same word he uses it both times here in this verse. And why is that important? Because to be completely under, what Mark is speaking of here and giving us a picture of is even as John was completely baptizing people completely under in the water, so to speak, as he was submerging them in water, he's giving us a picture that we can and should be and will be by Jesus completely submerged spiritually in the Holy Spirit. And so the same picture, one is physical, one is spiritual, but they both have that same full immersion and that complete from head to toe, so to speak, if you want to look at it that way. Now, we mentioned there were multiple ways that the Holy Spirit works in the believer's life. So what are those ways? Well, Scripture declares there are three different ways. And I really want to add a fourth one, four different ways that the Holy Spirit works in the believer's life. One of those ways is he is our teacher. Jesus said in the book of John that he is our teacher. We learn. He teaches us. People have thought, well, how did the disciples write the Gospels and remember everything after so many years when the Lord died? Well, because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you and bring all things to your remembrance. So we see that he is our teacher. But I'm not going to focus so much on the teaching aspect of the work that he does in our life as the three different works of the Spirit individually with us. And that is, the Bible says that he works with us, he works in us, and he works upon us. Three very distinct words with three very distinct meanings. Now, the New Testament describes the meaning of each of these words that the Holy Spirit speaks of in the believer's life, and again, with a distinct meaning and purpose. And I want to point those out because, again, I think that's important to see the way the Holy Spirit works in our life and to understand what each particular work of the Holy Spirit is for and is all about. Let's start with the first one here, and that is the word with, which is the word para there in the language, in the Greek. It's P-A-R-A. And what that means is alongside and or literally with. And the Lord is with us and alongside us. So the meaning and purpose of this particular work of the Spirit, and again, I want to put these in their individual boxes, okay? So you see, there's individual boxes of the way the Holy Spirit works, but they all come together to make the full working of the Holy Spirit. So in this particular box, in the with work of the Holy Spirit, we see that he works to draw the unbeliever to himself through that. That's how we came to Christ. God drew us by his Spirit. He's not yet in us. We don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We've not been born again, but he is with us saying, come on, you need to give your life to Jesus. You know you've got sin. You know you need to repent. You need to give your life to Jesus. He's working with us. Now, those of you that know the Lord in here today, you know that work. He's worked with you and drawn you to himself. So this first working we see is that alongside for the unbeliever, but also we're going to see that the with is with the believer to help us in whatever need we may have. So when you have a need, the Holy Spirit is there with you to help you in that need. And we'll see scriptural examples of that in just a moment. That's the first box, if you will, the first working of the Holy Spirit I want to look at. The second one is the word in, and that is en there in the language, in the Greek, en. It has basically the same meaning as the word in does in our language, and it means to indwell or live inside of. So the second box I want you to compartmentalize in your mind, this particular meaning and purpose of this work of the Spirit, is that God may literally indwell the believer and make our heart his home. That is, when you give your life to Christ, it tells us in Romans, as well as Jesus telling it to his disciples, we'll see in a moment, that the moment we receive Christ, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So right now, if you don't know the Lord, you have the withdwelling. If you do know the Lord, you have the withdwelling. Once you receive Christ, you now have the indwelling, but that's only something a believer can have, and that's the second work of the Spirit. And now what is the third work of the Spirit that we see in Scripture? And that is the last word that we're going to look at today, and that is the word upon, or epi in the Greek, E-P-I. And literally what that word means is to come upon from the outside. And again, you can see the application as he's talking about baptism, because when you're baptized, the water is not in you, is it? It better not be. Somebody told me one time that I baptized them, and shortly after that, they got pneumonia. But I don't know that that really was my fault. I don't know about that. But the bottom line is, typically when you get baptized, water doesn't get in you. It's simply upon you. That is the word used here when we speak of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every time it is used, we'll see the epi or the upon being connected to it. It's something that comes upon us. And the purpose, the meaning and the purpose for this particular work of the Holy Spirit is to empower the believer for ministry, number one. And secondly, for a victorious walk in Christ. So two main purposes for this particular work of the Spirit: to empower us. And we'll see that every time we see the upon in Scripture, we're going to see the empowering being tied to it. They're always linked together. Before we jump into the Scriptures and see the examples of each of the ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives and these particular words that we've pointed out, we first need to understand exactly who the Holy Spirit is. And that is, notice I said who, I didn't say what. There are teachings today that the Holy Spirit is either an it, or the Holy Spirit is some type of spiritual force that you can either manipulate, or you can throw on somebody, or you can blow on somebody, or you can do whatever you think you can do, and you can manipulate this powerful force, you know, and kind of tie into it, and there's the Holy Spirit. That's not the case at all. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Scripture says the Holy Spirit is a who or a he. And so where do we see this? Well, Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 15, verse 26, and there's actually numerous verses that pertain to this, but I'm not reading them all for time's sake. But Jesus said this, he said, "When he, the helper, comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Note that, he will, okay? So we see the Holy Spirit is not an it, the Holy Spirit is a he. And that's an important understanding because, again, there seems to be a misunderstanding and oftentimes, I think, a misapplication of the way the Holy Spirit is spoken of and the way the application is oftentimes made. Now, with that said, let's begin with the Old Testament, working with the Holy Spirit, working through the Old Testament of how the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament and tie it to the New Testament as well. Now, the first thing we need to realize is how the Holy Spirit worked before Jesus. Realize there's two different ways that the Holy Spirit worked with mankind. There was a way that the Holy Spirit worked before Jesus Christ, and there's a way the Holy Spirit works now after Jesus Christ. And really, the only difference is there's a new one that's been added on after Christ. And that is, there's only two of them. The first two we'll see in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit, or the Lord, was with the believer, and the Holy Spirit came upon the believer for power. When we get to the New Testament, we'll not only see that the Holy Spirit was with the believer, and the Holy Spirit was upon the believer, but we're going to see a third working of the Holy Spirit, and that is the indwelling or the moving inside of the Holy Spirit to live inside of the believer. So that's the main difference we're going to look at as we look at these, and you'll note those as you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, why was the indwelling of the Spirit not possible before Christ? Now, what I mean by that is if today you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says automatically God moves inside. You now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that is something that you don't have to ask for. It's something you don't have to work for. It's something you just, I receive Christ and boom, God says, I will come and make my home with you. And Jesus said that. The Father will make his home with you. I will make my home. We will live with you. You will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, as well as Paul talks about that in Romans. But now before Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was not possible. Why? Because of our sin. Until Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for our sin, God could not live in an unholy place. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute, Pastor Mark, I don't feel so holy now. It doesn't mean that we're sin-free. Here's what it means. Now our sin has been paid for. Now our sin has been covered by the blood of Christ. And because of that, God can now take up residence inside the believer. You see, in the Old Testament, the sin had not been paid for. It had temporarily been covered by the animal sacrifice until Jesus Christ took all sins away at the cross. Yes, they were still saved. Yes, they were still believers, but their sins were not completely wiped away until Jesus Christ and the cross, when all sins were taken away from mankind. So once that was done, now we can have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our life. And until that, we couldn't do that. So with that said, what I'd like to do today, again, is work through the Old Testament and make our way to the New and look at some examples of this. Now we have it, instead of, again, you having to jump around, we have the PowerPoint for you. You can just read it up there as we go through these different verses, and that way you'll be able to keep up, or you can jot these down for later as you want so that you're not jumping everywhere. Once we get to Acts and the New Testament, we will be looking at these verses together, but for time's sake, we're only going to speak of them now. So what is the first example of the Holy Spirit with the believer in the Old Testament? That is the Lord being with them. Even as today, the Holy Spirit is with us. We see in Genesis 26, verse 28, Abimelech speaking to Abraham. And he says to Abraham, we have certainly seen that the Lord is what? With you. Okay? Again, in Judges 6, 12, the angel of the Lord told Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Again, notice not in you, he is with you. And lastly, in 2 Samuel 7, verse 3, Nathan said to David, go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Exactly. So we see now in the Old Testament, and again, there's numerous examples. We could have gone on forever, but again, for time's sake, we're not. Numerous examples of the Holy Spirit being with them in the Old Testament. Now I want to show the second work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life in the Old Testament, and that is the upon working of the Spirit for power. In Judges chapter 6, verse 34, notice it says this, but the Spirit of the Lord came what? Upon Gideon. And again, he came upon Gideon to empower Gideon for what God had called him to do. In Judges chapter 11, verse 29, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And again, you notice the different work of the Spirit here. He was already with Jephthah. He came now upon Jephthah to empower him for ministry. 1 Samuel 16, 13, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Again, David was called a king of Israel, and David being a king needed power. Leaders need power to be able to do what it is God has called them to do, even as non-leaders need power simply to go and share Jesus Christ and to be a witness. So we all need this power, this work of the Spirit that gives us this power to do what God has called us to do. Now, that's all I'm going to look at in the Old Testament. As you read through the Old Testament in your own quiet time, you're going to see that the Lord is with them and the Lord comes upon them. But you're not going to see the Holy Spirit in them except for a couple of instances where with the prophet, the Lord allowed his Spirit to temporarily enter in when he had the prophet in a place where that was possible. But then as soon as he was done with the work he was doing, his Spirit withdrew. And once again, we had the with and the upon, but not the indwelling of the prophet. So again, that's how he worked in the Old Testament. There's two of the three ways that he works in our life. Now we come to the New Testament, and this is where you'll get to be an active participant and follow along more in your Bible. But now we have the three ways we see, and an added way that the Holy Spirit works with us, and that added way is now the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, verses 15 through 18, again, you don't have to turn to these yet. We'll wait till we get to Acts. You can if you'd like. But in John 14, verses 15 through 18, notice he said this, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Note this, for he dwells with you. There's the word para. And he will be in you. There's the word en. And again, speaking of after his death and resurrection, he would impart the Holy Spirit so they would be able to have the indwelling. And he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So the Lord here acknowledged the work of the Holy Spirit with them, but then made a promise in the future of the Holy Spirit being in them. Now, here's the question. They had to wait at that time for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because Jesus had not yet died. That was going to be a future event. What happens today to the believer who receives Christ? If you receive the Lord today, as we've already said, and I don't mean to be redundant, but you receive the indwelling immediately. It's automatic. So there's no waiting. There's nothing again to ask for. It's simply a work of the Spirit that God does, and it takes place in our life. So the question is, when did this new work of the Spirit take place? I guess we should say when and where did the new work of this Spirit take place prior to our day, if you will, when Jesus was with the disciples? Well, it happened after the resurrection once sin was paid for. Remember when Jesus resurrected and he went to the disciples, and we see in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, they're in the upper room and the Lord comes to them in the upper room. And it's interesting. Notice what it says. It says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, note this, he breathed on them. I find that very interesting. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, at this point, he imparted the Holy Spirit and allowed them to receive it. The word there, receive, is interesting. It's a word that is in the command form, and it means, I command you, receive the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord is giving them a command to do this. And secondly, interesting there, he says he breathed on them. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that when we are born again, it's like the wind of God. He said, God's Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going, but it's the wind of God, if you will, allow me, the breath of God. And so now Jesus, being resurrected from the dead, God in human form, breathes on them and says, receive. I command you, literally, I command you, receive the Holy Spirit. And at that point, although they were already believers, they now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because they couldn't have it until that time. All that is to say, this is where the Lord simply gave the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And now from that point on, we simply receive Christ and we have that indwelling. I think that's an important distinction to make. But where I want to finish today and focus the rest of our attention for the rest of today is the work of the Holy Spirit in the upon work in the New Testament. We know now that we have the with work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We know we have the indwelling if we've received Christ. Now I want to look at the upon dwelling and why? Because John here in verse 8 talks about you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that is the upon work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Let's turn first to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And let's see where Jesus talked about this, not only there, but also where he talks about it in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Now notice what he says here. Jesus speaking to his disciples. Again, remember, they're already believers. They've already had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's been imparted to them. We saw in the upper room back in John. This is after that, right before the Lord is about to descend, or rather ascend, back up into heaven. And Jesus says this, but you shall receive power. Now note that. I said every time we see the work of the upon work in the Spirit, you're going to see power connected to it. Because that is where we get our power for ministry and for life. He said, you shall receive power. Note this. When? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And there's that word epi, E-P-I, again, that you'll always see connected with the empowerment here. He will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. So notice what will happen. They'll receive the empowering experience, and now when that takes place, they're going to be bold. There's going to be a witness that they're going to carry out in their lives once the Lord comes upon them with the Holy Spirit. And again, this is that reference to being baptized in the Spirit that Mark was talking about in verse 8. Now let's flip to the right to Acts chapter 2 and see when did this happen with the believers. Now this is an important thing to note. In Acts chapter 2, when they were in the upper room waiting on the Holy Spirit to fall upon them, were they believers at that time? The answer is yes. Remember, Jesus had now given them the Holy Spirit. They now had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. These were the followers of Christ. This was the early church, and yet they had the with work of the Holy Spirit. They had the in work of the Holy Spirit, but now the Lord is about to give them the upon work of the Holy Spirit so that they would have power and do what it is God had called them to do. Verse 1, notice, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon, I'm pausing there so you note those words, upon each of them. Again, there's the word epi, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you'll see a connection of being filled with the Holy Spirit and this upon work of the Spirit in the believer's life. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 14. In Acts chapter 8, 14, here's the setting. They had gone and preached the gospel in Samaria, and many had come to Christ. Many had been believers, and word got back to Jerusalem. There's people getting saved in Samaria. They're receiving the word of God. They're being baptized in the name of Jesus. And we'll see that this group here had been baptized in the name of Jesus. They'd received the Lord. And yet, notice what happens in verse 14 of chapter 8. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they'd heard about Jesus and received it, they sent to Peter and John and said to them, well, who, when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, note that. What do you mean? I thought we received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit the moment we received Christ. That's true. But now they were praying for them to receive this work of the Spirit in their life that would empower them for ministry, the upon work of the Holy Spirit. He says that they would receive the Spirit. Notice this, verse 16, for as yet he had fallen, what? Upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you receive the word of God and you've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, are you a Christian? Yes. So these were true believers. But when they came down to pray for them, they said, there's still something yet that you need to walk in power. And that is, we want to pray that the Spirit would come upon you. And so verse 17, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now let's turn to another one, Acts chapter 11. And we'll start in verse 13. Peter here is defending his ministry to the Gentiles. Remember, Peter was called by Cornelius and his household to come in and share the gospel. And they said, Peter, you went into a Gentile's home. And Peter says, wait a minute. God called me to go into that Gentile home. You see, they didn't know at that time that God was here for the Gentiles as well. So they came there to the Gentiles, and Peter went into Cornelius, and they're giving him a hard time. And starting in verse 13, Peter explains, he said, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, that is Cornelius, who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words that by which all your household will be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell how? Upon them, as upon us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So now we see that connection again of the water baptism and the Spirit baptism. All right, let's turn to another place. Go to your right to Acts chapter 19. And in Acts chapter 19, the first few verses, let me give you the background and give you the setting here before we look at what happens here. Paul was going back to visit all of the believers at the different churches. He had now gone back on another missionary journey. He wanted to see how they were doing, how they were growing, how they were getting along in the Lord. And so Paul goes there and he finds a group of disciples. He finds a group of believers in Ephesus. And that's where we take the story up in chapter 19. Notice, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, what a bizarre question. Wait a minute, Pastor Mark. I thought that everybody received the Holy Spirit the moment they believed. Didn't you just say that's what the Bible teaches? Didn't you just say that's what it says in Romans? Yes. The Bible says the moment we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, but we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're looking at the different works of the Spirit in the believer's life. We have the with, we now receive the indwelling, but it's very evident that Paul saw something was missing in these believers' lives. Because what would prompt Paul to go to a group of believers and say, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It would be just like you guys giving your life to Christ and me meeting after you and saying, or afterwards and saying, all right, I know you all gave your life to Christ today, but I have a question for you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you received Christ? And if you know anything about Scripture, you look at me and scratch your head and say, of course I did. I had no choice. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul noticed something in the Ephesians' life that was missing. And apparently it was so evident, Paul felt prompted to say, guys, what's going on in your life? And again, what Paul's referring to is the empowering of the Spirit. They weren't walking in power. We'll see that as the verses develop. Notice, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they said to him, well, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, well, into what then were you baptized? They said, well, into John's baptism, which again is water baptism under repentance. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, note this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So now you've got them believing in Jesus, being baptized in the name of Jesus and receiving him. These are true believers. But now notice, after these true believers have received Jesus Christ and they've been baptized now in water, notice what Paul does after that in verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came what? Upon them. That's that word again, a P in the language. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and the men were about 12 in all. Now you're probably wondering, all right, Mark, we've covered all these verses. You know, what is the point of all this? Well, simply what I want to leave us with is this question today. And that is this: how many of the ways of the Holy Spirit and the way he works in the believer's life are we walking in right now? Now, if you know Jesus Christ, he's with you and he's in you. But the question I have for you today, has he come upon you? And this is really what the teaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Now, I know a lot of times you simply mention the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of people begin to freak out and get afraid. And why is that? Because there have been so many abuses. There have been so many misrepresentations of what this work of the Spirit is. And again, how the Spirit works. You know, next time we come together and we see, we move on in John, we're going to see that after Jesus was baptized in water, that he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it says the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove descending upon him. Now note this, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he comes upon us very gently, but he gives us great power. The thing I think oftentimes that confuses us and gets us afraid of this particular work of God in our life is that notice he descended upon Jesus like a dove, not like a pterodactyl. And sometimes when you watch these people on TV or in these different events, you say, what's going on in their life? What happened? God is a God of order, but he's also a God of power, and God desires that we have that power in our life. And so again, this particular work of the Spirit, I want to challenge you today. Have you asked God to come upon you and to empower you for ministry? That's all it is. Saying, God, come upon me. I need you to empower me for ministry. Now, as we saw in Acts, there were some believers there in Christ who had not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And maybe some here are like that right now. You say, you know what? I've been in Christ for years, but I've never prayed to be filled with the Spirit and have God come upon me. It's interesting, as we saw there in Acts chapter 19, there were believers who said they had not even yet even heard of the Holy Spirit. And maybe some of you today are saying, man, I've been coming to Calvary Chapel a long time and I've not even heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this is new to me and I don't even understand exactly. This is the first I've heard of it. And maybe some of you today are hearing for the first time a balanced teaching on the Holy Spirit and the fact of how he works in coming upon us to empower us for ministry. Either case, God wants to come upon you today and he wants to empower you for ministry. He wants to give you the boldness that you need. You know, I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was excited about the Lord and I wanted to share Jesus with the people, but I just didn't have the boldness. I was scared. I jokingly call it chickenitis. I was scared to share my faith, and that went along for months. And then someone came to me and they said, Mark, you know, have you had God come upon you? Have you prayed for God to come upon you and empower you? And they began to share with me scriptures about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, no, I hadn't done that, but I want everything the Lord has for me. So I remember getting alone and saying, all right, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want. And I prayed and I asked God to fill me with his Holy Spirit. And God did. God was faithful to come upon me and to fill me with his Spirit. And I noticed a change in my life. You know, it's interesting. We see in Peter's life, right before the Spirit was poured out, Peter is hiding in the upper room. And he's scared. He's afraid. You know, I think about chickenitis. Remember, Peter was the one really had chickenitis. He heard the rooster crow three times as he denied the Lord. And so I can associate with Peter. When Peter was hiding behind that wall, that room in the upper room, that's where I was before I said, God, I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and come upon me and empower me for ministry. And it's interesting because, you know, Peter, again, when the Holy Spirit fell, this man who was hiding behind a wall from those people that had killed Christ, and again, he was hiding, the Bible tells us, because he thought they might kill him. He was afraid. What did Peter do when the Holy Spirit came upon him? This man who had a severe case of chickenitis gets up and walks on the Temple Mount right to those who crucified Christ and said, you're guilty of crucifying the Lord and you need to repent and you need to receive Christ. What happened to Peter? It wasn't because Peter got suddenly determined, well, you know, I took this class and they told me I need to be witnessing. One of the steps I need to take in order to be a good Christian is to witness. So I'm going to go out today and there's a bunch of guys gathering on the Temple Mount. Okay, guys, let's do it. Hey, and they go out and they hit the right. The Holy Spirit came upon Peter, and after the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, he received power. Power to be a witness, power for ministry, and he stood up and he preached the gospel to the very ones who put Jesus Christ to death, and 3,000 were saved that day. When I asked the Lord to come upon me with his Spirit and to empower me, that very next day, I was a changed man. I was in the malls. I've shared my testimony with you. I never did that. I was scared to. I started going to a particular mall there in Nashville, Tennessee. And I would stop people walking through the mall and say, excuse me, has anyone shared Jesus with you? Now, I was rather abrupt. I had a new boldness. I had a new power in my life that I'd never experienced. And you know what? This teaching today may be answering some questions for some of you that have been saying for years, look, I know Jesus. I know I've received him as Lord, but I don't seem to have power in my life. I don't seem to have the ability to walk with God myself, much less tell someone else about how to walk with Christ and to stand up and be a bold witness for them. I don't have that power. Listen, God has made that a power available, but you need to ask him for that power and you need to receive that power. It's something that's not hard to do. It's a matter of just saying, Lord, I want to receive that power. How then do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We simply need to ask. In Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, that is in the sinful nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now note that. To those who ask him, remember, when we receive Christ, do you have to ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? You know, when the pastor's up front, he says, all right, those of you that want to receive Christ, right now I want you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I confess my sin. Forgive me of sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior. Now, Lord, I want to ask that you would indwell me because I need you to indwell me here or this thing's not going to take. Lord, please indwell me or this thing's not going to take. You never heard that, have you? Because it's automatic. But notice Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you know what? You want my power? Ask for it. Simply ask. It's interesting. In Ephesians 5:18, remember it says, be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's interesting. Again, if you look it up in the English, it's not there, but that's what it says in the Greek. It says literally, be you are continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, which means not only do we need to have the empowering from God, we need to do it on a regular basis. I ask God every day, Lord, fill me today. I need to be filled with your Holy Spirit today because I can't do this without you. And so as we end today, what I want to do is give each of us an opportunity to be filled with the Spirit and to ask God to do that and to pray together for God to come upon us and fill us with His Spirit. Now, again, it doesn't mean that something dramatic is going to happen. There are different personalities and different ways the Lord speaks, but you know, you have to be afraid. Remember, He descends like a dove. So allow the Lord to minister in His gentleness and His power to your heart as you simply open yourself up to receive Him. Now, what is the evidence that you've been filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit? It's simply a greater love for God. You will have an incredible love for God. You will have a greater love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You'll have a greater love for the lost. And you'll also have, note this, a new and unexplained power. You're going to begin to notice that all of a sudden when the conversation comes up in the office, yeah, your heart will still begin to beat fast, but you're going to be able to say, you know what, I'd like to say something. And there's going to be a new power in your life. That's what God wants to do as He fills you with the Spirit and comes upon you with the Spirit. But now before we pray, for those of you that want to do that, I want to say this. Before you can be filled with the Spirit, you've got to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing you've got to do is come to know Him. So if you're here today and you don't even know the Lord, you need to understand, first of all, that God loves you very much, but you're separated from God by your sin. The Bible says we are born in sin and our sin separates us from God. And the only way that we can get reconnected to God is to have someone pay for our sin. That is why God sent Jesus Christ to the earth. He died on the cross. He resurrected the third day. And by His blood, He paid for our sin and built a bridge back to God. And so now we have this way that we can get to God through Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We confess our sin. We repent of our sin. We go through Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Lord and Savior. And then we're in Christ. And then when it comes to, after we come to the Lord, then we say, God, all right, now I need Your power. So come upon me. But let's do that today. Let's pray right now. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. And Lord, for the power that You do give us by Your Holy Spirit. But Lord, before we pray for that, I pray if there's any here today that don't know You, that right now, God, they've never given their life to You, that they would begin right now to confess their sins. And if you want to give your life to Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. And I believe that You died for my sin on the cross. Lord, forgive me of my sin. And I receive You as my Lord and Savior. And I give my life to You. The Bible says if you've done that, you've received Christ and you're born again. And now you're a part of the family. But now I want to pray for those of you who want to just be empowered by the Spirit. I want to pray first of all for maybe someone who's for the first time being filled with the Spirit and someone who's being filled with the Spirit afresh. Let's just pray. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, have the Spirit come upon you for the first time in your life, I want you to pray with me. Lord, please come upon me with Your Holy Spirit and fill me to overflowing, that I might have power in my life, number one, to walk the Christian walk, and number two, to be a witness in my Jerusalem, my Judea and Samaria, and my outer reaches of the world by Your power and by Your Holy Spirit. And now, if you want to be filled fresh with the Spirit again as a believer, then I want you to pray this with me. You've already been baptized in the Spirit, but you want to be filled fresh again, then pray this prayer with me. Lord, I need to be filled afresh this morning with Your Holy Spirit. I ask now that You would come upon me and You would fill me to overflowing. And Lord, that You would refresh me and give me the boldness that I need to once again be the Christian and the witness that You've called me to be. And I thank You, Lord, for making this available, and I receive it now by faith. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.